come in and out, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts are pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our deliverer. Amen. Our lives get good news and we get bad news. We all love to get good news and not so much the bad news. Yet sometimes you have to hear the bad news in order to really hear the good news. For instance, you take your car in for an oil change. The mechanic tells you it's good news that your car can be fixed for only $600. Well, that's not good news if all you did was to bring it in for an oil change. But if you had just had the car towed to the shop, the mechanic told you earlier that it may be $1,600, then when he tells you the $600 is good news, right? Or maybe the doctor tells you that there's some medication for you to take to live another 5 years. It's not good news if you only went in for a checkup, right? But if you were diagnosed with cancer and then he told you that you had 5 months to live, then the doctor's news about the medication letting you live 5 more years is good news. That's the way it was for God's people in our text today from Isaiah 35. Verse 4 tells us that those who are weak from fear and terror will be strengthened, and they won't be afraid anymore. That's good news if you've been so afraid that you could hardly move. But if you were not fearful, as many of Isaiah's hearers were not fearful, this good news really wasn't that good of news. Verse 5 through 7 tells about relief from physical disease, which is generally good news, except for those who are not sick or hurting. Verse 8 through 10 talks about a straight highway to lead the captives home, which again is good news, unless you're not captive to anything. You can see that good news is subjective, really. For Isaiah was talking about a time when the people of Israel would be returning from captivity. But the trouble was that that captivity wouldn't happen for another 100 years. Probably most of them wouldn't even be alive by then. The problem was that nobody was listening. And so his good news for them of their release from captivity didn't mean anything to them, really. Because the people, as I said, were not slaves or oppressed in any way. Their economy was doing really good, and they were living pretty good and easy lives. We face a similar situation, don't we? People don't want to hear about God's wrath and God's justice, let alone be told that they're sinners. They don't want to hear that they're born conceived in sin and need the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sin, to be saved from the fires of hell. They especially don't want to hear that they're separated from God because of their wickedness and that they deserve to suffer the eternal consequences for it. You even see this happening more and more in the church. For instance, a few years ago, the Presbyterian Church voted to remove the popular hymn, In Christ Alone, from the new hymnal because it included the line, "Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied." Apparently, they didn't like the idea of mentioning the wrath of God. When we take out or leave off these so-called bad news, it actually takes away the need for the good news. Jesus becomes just a nice guy who suffered an unjust punishment. And that's all. So let's be honest and let God's word work as God intended to. The bad news is that we are sinners. But the good news is that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible is very clear about the nature of man, and that the wages of sin is death. Yet God's wrath isn't the end of the story. Paul describes it this way in the letter to the Ephesians in chapter 2. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ. It is that simple, but that paragraph is offensive to a lot of people, even those in the church. We want to embrace God's love without taking into account his wrath and his justice. We want the benefit of the good news without acknowledging the bad news. We are naturally inclined to reject the true God of the Bible. We would rather make God more like we want him to be. But a God of our creation is no God at all, not the true God anyway. A God of our creation is simply a thought designed to make us feel better about ourselves, really. So let's be clear. The good news is that we don't have to pay the price for our sins, because Jesus paid it for us. He lived a sinless life, yet his sacrifice atoned, made up, paid in full for all of our sins that we owe. We can be redeemed, bought back from our sin, and receive the free gift of eternal life that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And if that's not enough, God even supplies the faith for us to believe. Paul says, again, in that letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast." And that, my friends, is good news. Amen.